Why stand still when you can run headfirst into a wall? You're listening to the Jocular Pugilists.
What hit me is it's changed so much.
Yeah, like even, were you a Halloween guy?
I remember not going out with my parents more than maybe once or twice when I was really young.
We had a great street for it. My parents knew everybody on the street. And so we literally, every house we hit, we knew people.
I remember cheesy costumes. You remember cheesy costumes? Remember the half masks?
So far, Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
My mom made our costumes from scratch, and she put...
Oh, wow.
Oh, she put so much effort into it. I gotta say, she really put herself into making experiences interesting for us and fun for us and unique. And so,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah, Halloween costumes were awesome. Birthdays were awesome. She would make these designer cakes, you know, a baseball glove and a ball in the cake. Like, I remember this stuff so vividly. I remember the Halloween costumes she made and the, you know, all of that. It's so great. And then when we got old enough and we started going off on our own, the street fights.
Really?
And the egging and the, oh, yeah.
Egging, I remember.
I mean, the street fights weren't, you know, it wasn't gangs. We're talking Westchester. But it was definitely, you can run into people and confront each other.
Hey, tough guy. Nice pubes.
I always made sure that there was extra shaving cream cans in my bag.
Okay, when you're saying that, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
If you were just old enough to be on your own, but still young enough to trick-or-treat, the older kids would target you.
Absolutely, would target you. And so the trick was to put heavy stuff in a pillowcase and walk around with that and then your candy bag. You know, you'd also have your bag for your candy. But like the shaving cream, the eggs, and maybe a couple rocks would be in the bottom of my pillowcase. And if someone got close enough...
Right. I'm glad you stopped doing that.
That was my weapon of choice.
Right. Old habits die hard. No, I remember cheesy costumes for me. You know, your mom was way more involved. Nothing against my mom.
Did you have the store-bought ones? Or?
Yeah. I mean, just whatever. Yeah. I mean, so they bought me costumes.
Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
But I don't ever remember her making anything for me. But watch, she did, and she's weeping. Oh, my God, I can't believe. I dressed you up as that bunny rabbit.
Do you remember ColecoVision, like the little handheld football games and basketball games and those?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
My mom made me... She turned me into a ColecoVision football game. I mean,
holy moly. We became friends kind of after that period, closer to almost high school.
After that period, yes.
That's funny. So I think at that point, you kind of stopped trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
You know, actually, kids trick-or-treat a lot older now.
I think you're right.
We didn't. I don't. After 11 or 12, we were done.
Yeah, I didn't trick-or-treat after that. But I did go. We did go out looking for trouble, for sure, for Halloween.
Well, I know. Well, that's different than trick-or-treating, though.
More fun.
I remember my father going with me once, and he dressed up like a bandito, which is like, <it's something, laughs> you know, and he did the accent and everything, which is so not PC now, but I enjoyed it so much when I was young.
I heard you want to be a Frito Bandito like me.
Honestly, I couldn't picture your dad dressing up, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a vivid memory. Yeah. It sounds like for you.
It was a big deal. And I remember my parents... had a good sense of humor about even their costumes because they would always go to a Halloween party. I would always remember them going to a Halloween party.
I remember that about your parents. Just that they were very social and they did parties and they had a great time.
Very social and very proper. But there was one year when my mom was pregnant with Lou. She went as a pregnant nun, and my father went as Father Guido Sarducci, who knocked her up. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I was so impressed. So, you know,
they notched up like a level of coolness in your eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. They did.
Well, that's the whole thing about being Catholic. Catholicism has a lot to do with fear.
Yeah.
Don't do this because you're going to burn in hell. In fact, the whole concept of original sin is pretty rough.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do anything, and you're already going to hell. You're working at a deficit immediately.
And the funny thing is, these are the people that brought us the Catholic schoolgirl uniform. Like, are you kidding me? You're going to tell me?
All right, yeah. I can't think any impure thoughts, and she's wearing that.
That's terrible, man.
That's true. I never thought about that. I came from a very religious family. My mom did the extra step religious. We both went to the same church. We're not Catholic now. At least I speak for myself, but I don't think Phil's Catholic. You Catholic now?
Not real. No, not real. I mean, I still consider myself Catholic, but I don't practice.
I don't
really
consider myself Catholic. I feel like if you're not going to church and you don't believe in the doctrine, you're not that. But we both grew up Catholic, and it was a big part of our life. My mother came from a very religious family. She had, I don't know, she had priests. She definitely had nuns. She had an aunt that was a nun. In fact, I don't know if you know this, Phil. My mother almost became a nun.
I do know that, yeah.
Yeah, she came, went to the convent and the whole thing. And my father swooped in with his evil ways. And
you know what? Your father, I remember seeing old pictures. He was a bad boy. He definitely had the leather jacket going. He swept her off her feet.
Do you recognize this voice? Hey!
Well, you grew up in a section of the Bronx that I think you had to be a little tough.
Yeah.
You know, when he grew up. But in any case, so I went to church. I mean, I always consider myself a little bit more Catholic than most people because I actually went to church on days other than Sunday. My mother would wake us up crazy early in the morning at times to go to Mass. So she'd say, like, we have to go to Mass before school.
Yeah, I was lucky because we had Mass as part of school. And then I'd go on Sunday. But that
when I was in Catholic school, because I went to Catholic high school. I went to public, which is crazy. I'm going to say it, grammar school. No. But I went to Catholic high school. So even in Catholic high school, when we had Mass in the school, my mom still would try to get me up early to go to Mass. Anyway, Catholicism had that fear. So it's interesting that your parents did that costume. Where's the fear, Phil? Where's the fear?
I really don't know. I mean, we definitely, there were things we couldn't do. Like my dad was a CCD teacher, and they were certainly Catholic. But it was more, their Catholicism is really inspiring because they weren't preachy. They just lived the life. They were great examples. And their families were great examples, too. My dad's family, amazing. My mom's family is amazing,
Absolutely.
Like, crazy.
You're Italian on both sides?
Yeah, both sides.
So you're more Italian than me.
I am.
I'm only half Italian, a typical New York Irish Italian. Both sides Catholic. And both sides had, more often than not, really good people. And they were good examples of being religious. There was no prejudging and no I'm better than you kind of stuff from my folks.
Right.
I think religion can be great. When I say I'm not Catholic, that's a decision. And that's just a whole other conversation. But for me, I feel like to be a religion, you have to believe entirely in the doctrine, meaning every little element of it to be that. I'm culturally Catholic.
Yeah.
I believe in pieces of the doctrine, but not all of it, meaning the whole doctrine.
Do you remember when you started getting interested in music, specifically like bands, the excitement of discovering new bands? Because I don't have that anymore. And there are, not that there's not great music that's being produced out there, because there is. You have to look for it and it's out there. But I'm talking about that feeling of the first time you heard the Beatles, or the first time you heard Rush, or the first time you heard, the Who or the Rolling Stones, Zeppelin. Oh my God, the first time I really got into Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. Like, those were magical, magical moments, like when I was a kid.
Oh my God, yeah. Weirdly, there's more music now than there ever was, and for multiple reasons, not the least of which is it's much easier to find music and play music. You can get it on your phone. When we were younger, it was a little bit more difficult. Even if you had the music, you had to walk over, take an album out, take a cassette tape out, place it on the turntable, place the cassette in the tape machine. The cassettes were annoying because you had to rewind if you wanted to hear it again.
Yeah.
Or place the needle down on the album. There was a little bit of effort.
That's such a good point, because I think in the effort is part of the appreciation.
It does. It makes it more special.
It makes it more special. You had to go to the store. You had to, you know, and buy it. You had to save up to buy it.
It's just like anything. No. If a restaurant could be fabulous and maybe everything on the menu is pretty darn good, but if you eat the whole menu, you're going to throw up.
Yeah, that's right. That's definitely right.
And it's going to be a lot more tasty if you're a little hungry.
Do you remember, I was a very big Lyric guy. I think...
Before you go into lyrics, I'm going to cut you off. I can tell you exactly when the first time I listened to music
was. I asked the question, didn't wait for the answer.
The very first time I discovered music was pretty cool. Now, I have an older brother. He was listening to music already. And I do believe when we were younger, the music kind of represented you more. If you listen to a certain music, people assume things about you right away. You listen to Led Zeppelin, this is who you are.
Really
good point. You listen to disco,
really good.
This is who you are. So the music kind of represented you more back than I think it does today. When I found music, I had like this kind of apocryphal experience. Butter from next door was throwing out a whole litany of things, and in this box of things that were in the garbage was a tape. And I had just moved in, so I was probably 6 years old at the time, and the tape was an album from The Who called Who's Next.
Ooh, the best one on top of it.
Exactly. We could debate that, but a damn good album. So he was throwing an album. Sometimes, I don't know if you're old enough and you remember this, sometimes tapes would get stuck a little bit and they would slow down in the machine. So this tape was kind of broken. It wasn't really working. We had a Radio Shack mono tape deck, you know, battery powered tape deck from the 70s. And I put the tape in and played it. I heard the beginning of Bob O'Reilly. That sequence analog synth thing.
Yep.
It's like, what the hell's this? And then the guitar came in and Roger Daltrey. By the time you got to the middle of it, it started going, oh, here is the fields. It slowed down to nothing. I was like, what the hell's this? So for about 3 months, I listened to about a minute of Bob O'Reilly. And I thought it was the most amazing thing. Out here in the fields, here's another side note. My brother wasn't into The Who. My brother started getting into music, I think partly because of the bad influence from across the street, who got into music probably because of his uncle, who was more of a rocker or whatever. So I think said, oh, that's The Who. And he put the whole album on. I went, oh my God. And that was it. For The Who, for me, was this is the coolest thing ever. Prior to The Who, there was really no music in the Cataldo household. My father has three songs. Well, let's see. Three? Probably two songs that he loves. Yeah, two. Two songs that he ever... And he actually had a record player and they had two songs. You want to take a wild guess at what the two songs were? He's not a very musical man. Go ahead, Phil.
I don't know.
Wild guess.
I'm guessing like a doo-wop, something doo-wop.
No, didn't like doo-wop. Actually, he does like three things now. So actually, there's one more sophisticated thing, but I didn't know about the third thing when I was younger. Go ahead.
Okay. I give up. That was my one shot.
You're gonna love it. Popeye, the theme to Popeye he had.
What?
And the theme to Rocky. Those are the two. That was it. That's it. So
that says so much about your dad. Actually, that makes complete sense. It makes complete sense.
The third thing I only found out after I went to music school was, and anytime if we're in a party or if it comes up in a, you know, like if you're shuffling something on your iPad, iPhone, or whatever it is, and Dave Brubeck comes up, whatever Dave Brubeck, he goes, oh, I like this. Is this Brubeck guy again? I like him. Yeah. Somehow Dave Brubeck got gotten there and knows the name.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was once a year he played the theme to Popeye and Rocky, and that was it.
Do you remember America's Top 40? I think it was with Casey Kasem. American Top 40.
This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood.
I do, yeah.
So the way I got my music for a long time was recording off of the radio.
That's true. I forgot about that.
You'd have to sit there and try and hope to get the whole song on your tape.
Ancient pirating of music.
That was it.
And the asshole DJs would speak over the beginning.
Oh, of course, yeah. It drove me nuts.
Hold on. Did you have a direct connection from the radio? Because what I would do, which is so ghetto, was I would take my mono tape deck and put it in front of the speaker, and you would hear me recording. You know, my mom would open the door and go, shh, quiet, quiet. You can hear noises, a car would drive by.
That's really bad. I don't think I might have had to do that in the beginning. I don't know. I don't remember. But that's really bad.
And then my brother had a really good stereo.
Yeah, I remember that. And then you ended up having a really good one too.
Yeah, my parents were good to me with that. That's all relative. It wasn't super high end or anything.
Well, back then we had components and nice turntables and really good speakers. Compare those systems even to now. I mean, they were far superior.
Yeah. Because yeah. There's no way you can get away from physics. Everything has to be small now. Big means bigger sound. Mm-hmm. So you get a big speaker, big wood, even though, you know, there's no way the science is better now. You know, I know that with Bose, they were one of the first companies to miniaturize a speaker, and they've created good ways to get yeah. a lot of sound from a small thing. But you big speaker, big sound, better sound.
You know, Neil Young actually created a speaker, or is part of a company that created a speaker that apparently he's very big on analog sound. And apparently those speakers, I have to look it up. So I have to interrupt myself. I did look it up, and it's actually the Pono digital player that Neil Young was working on. Which proves, once again, I don't know what I'm talking about. But he says the exact same thing. He's like, you can't compress music or audio and expect to get the sound that we used to get in the 70s and 80s. Like, it just can't be done.
Yeah, convenience has made everything a little crappier.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So let's talk about some of the music of the 80s, because it was really a very specific time. There was punk that was still going on. Then there was pop, very synth pop that took off. And then there was metal.
Well, when you say yeah. synth pop, you're talking about new wave? Because I think there was two different synth pops. There was the new wave stuff, and then there was
you're
synth
right.
pop.
And then there's the top 40. Yeah.
Like,
right.
I don't consider Duran Duran new wave, but they're yes. kind of poppy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But then again, I didn't really listen to much new wave. I think there was probably a lot of styles of music. Not probably. There definitely was. It's just what we mm-hmm. were aware of. I mean, how we used to digest music has changed so yeah. much. You would get music from listening to the radio. You would get music by buying it. Yeah. Which meant you had to have something to play it on, which was expensive mm-hmm. for a child. You would get music by hanging mm-hmm. out with your friends. And the music that your friends listened to often, like I said before, represented who they were. So white suburban kids tended to listen to rock and roll or new wave. That was the tendency. Like, there wasn't a lot of, I don't know if hip hop really existed, but there wasn't a ton of hip hop going on in Westchester. There was, yeah. but not a lot. Whereas today, you can get like some kid from Westchester who's like rapping his, you know, ass off because that's yeah. all he listens
well,
to. Well,
rap definitely hit in the 80s. Like, that's when it exploded. Like, when Run DMC did that thing with Aerosmith. And then the Beastie Boys hit. For white kids in Westchester, like, all of a sudden, rap was real. Those two things sort of made it mainstream, and then it exploded.
Yeah, accessible to white kids.
To white kids, yeah, yeah, yeah. New York was really the beginning of it. In the 70s, it was the beginning of it. We just weren't paying attention to it.
Those Grandmaster Flash and all that.
Yeah. Your point about what you listened to kind of defined who you were really is really true. Not only did it define who you were, it defined what you wore. It defined who you hung out with. It defined everything.
Because it's what you thought was cool,
yeah,
acceptable.
If you were wearing a skinny tie and a jacket,
you knew exactly.
You were not hanging out. Right,
right.
Exactly. And you certainly weren't hanging out with the metal guy
yeah.
in the spandex and, you know, long hair.
Which was always problematic for me because I loved
yeah.
classic rock. So I grew up with classic rock, so I loved the long hair and I loved, you know, that look.
Yep.
But I wasn't into metal. Like, you got more into metal first because of Chris.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to Black Sabbath and I listened to AC/DC, but that's essentially those to me are more hard rock. And people would say, no, Black Sabbath, the mm-hmm. beginning of metal, let's let's not get into that debate whether it's true or not. Probably is true, but whatever. That was as heavy as I got. But a lot of my friends, you know, listened to, I guess, the beginnings of metal. Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and...
I was a huge Iron Maiden guy.
Yeah.
Whoa, cool tattoo, dude. You're into Iron Maiden?
Maiden rules.
I loved Iron Maiden.
And then thrash, yeah. You know, I don't know, Anthrax and Metallica and Megadeth. Except all those metal bands from the earlier 80s. I forget the names of all of them, but prior to the whole hair metal, you know, what is that called? Glam metal, right? Remember those cheeseball bands? I never...
Poison?
Yeah. I mean, we had to listen to it, so I didn't listen to Poison, but we had to, like, Dokken and Rat. There were all these great guitar players in those bands, but the songs were so cheesy. So I remember them, and if I hear them now, I will think back to those days. But there's no way I want to turn it on. I can never want to hear a Whitesnake song or a Dokken song or, you know, maybe for a second go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Isn't that a great guitar solo? Turn it off, please. So I never, growing up, because I had to listen to that stuff and that's what people wanted to play, I kind of was in a weird place. I loved good songwriting and I loved The Who. I love Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And I love prog rock. I got into prog rock, probably because of my brother, really young.
Yeah.
So it was, for me, it was Yes, Kansas, Rush. I was a huge Rush fan.
That's funny. Yeah, I got into it for the same reason. James was a huge prog rock guy. And I totally bought into it. Like, he, you know, all of that stuff we'd listen
to. Did you listen to King Crimson when you were younger?
No, that was the only one I didn't know. You turned me on to King Crimson. I didn't know them before you. And that,
for me, it was high school King Crimson. It happened later.
For me, until college is when you really turned me on to it.
Like, you know who was into that stuff too? Jim Gallagher, a kid I went to high school with.
Yeah.
He was way into it. And I remember hanging with him and listening to music. It was always special, and it's something I can't imagine many kids doing now, to hang out with a bunch of people that loved music, and we would do this, Phil, and just listen to a song. Like, not talk, just go, check this out. You gotta hear the song. And there was no talking. We would listen to the entire song.
Oh my God, I haven't done that. It's been decades since I've been able to do that, really.
Man, that's something I lament. I really wish I could do that. I really wish, just even for my son, to sit there and go, hey, Gabriel, sit down. Let's listen to this entire song. He'll get through a little bit of it and just get up and walk away. It's fine to be in the background, but it's just not in our DNA anymore as human beings to actually just listen to a piece of music. I could do it, but do you?
Not intentionally anymore. I'll have it in the background. And then every once in a while, I'll start playing an album and I'll remember. But it's so rare because I listen to so many podcasts and so much talk radio and so much stuff that isn't music anymore.
And I work on music all day and I teach. So often when I'm done, I don't want to hear music. I want to hear talk radio. I want to hear something else. So one of the reasons we're doing this is it gives me a rest from all of the music. But boy, I love that. And in fact, if you think about it, there was a whole experience to it. I can smell the album. You know, when you got a new album, there was a smell to the plastic, to the vinyl, that is, to the printing of it, to the cardboard, to the smell of the printing, you know, on the cardboard, and the whole process of taking it out. Often the sleeve, when you took out the album, it was in a sleeve, and there would be lyrics on it. There was pictures. It was
lyrics.
Art. It was an entire experience that's completely lost now.
I remember getting a Rush album because Neil Peart was an amazing lyricist.
Yeah.
And they'd get or a Who album and sit there and listen to the whole album while reading the lyrics and taking it all in. Like, think about that. Like 45 minutes of only music and reading the lyrics. It was amazing.
Yeah.
How important that moment was, because it was like a ritual. And like me personally, I took it so seriously, the greatest way to spend my time.
I love that you said ritual, because there was something that was ritualistic about it.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
And that whole process, it's like smoking a peace pipe, having an out-of-body experience. It was a special experience. And the fact that you had to wait, you had to make an effort, made everything so much better. Everything is so much better mm-hmm. when you have to make a little bit of effort and you have to pause for it. We're just not used to it. We're used to, you know, Netflix, the whole show is out. You can watch them all in a 48-hour period. Yeah. You know, when Van Halen came out with a new album, I remember it.
So do I.
I remember waiting for it. I remember riding my bike to the store and waiting for it and getting there and picking up the album, and you get it back and you take it out and you put it on the turntable, and man, it was so special.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we played with rocks and sticks all day long.
And of course, we've talked again way too long. We're not even close to getting done with this topic, with this conversation. It's so much fun. Oh, for us, hopefully for other people too, but specifically for us. So we're going to have to save everything for the next episode, I think.
Another podcast. All right. We got a lot to talk about. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for listening and sticking with us through our nonsense. You're listening to the Jocular Pugilists. You can find us on our website, thejocularpugilists.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Jocular Pugilists. And that's pretty much it.
We're right behind you.
We're right here.
And don't worry, we hate each other, but we like you.
We like you, yeah. We definitely hate each other. I'll see you next time.
See you.